Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Josie James, and you're listening to Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio.
The true American art form,
and it's precious and it's, I love it, you know, because it just really enables me to express myself openly and sincerely.
Do you convey that same type of feelings, or should I say sentiments, to your teaching as far as when you're dealing with different students, to tell them, to really stress to them to have that kind of feeling and motivation when they do their music?
Definitely. I teach them to really learn the tradition of jazz, so really go back and study the music, study the pioneers of it, transcribe, learn the vocabulary, learn how to speak it authentically, and learn how to convey your emotions to your audience. So it's really important for my students to understand that I'm really trying to get them to have a strong foundation, and also as they study and learn more, to have an open mind and really listen to what the masters have done and the music that they've written, and learn that and then, you know, expand it or put your personality to it. You know, because with younger musicians, of course, they're listening to the music that's happening now and also studying, you know, what came before that. So, you know, a lot of the younger musicians now are really mixing things up with what's happening in terms of the music now and the older traditions of jazz, which is great because the music has to move forward.
Absolutely. It definitely resonates with the new album. But, you know, it's interesting. I want to piggyback and actually want to take it a step further. It's amazing to me that when I look at someone like Miles Davis, who transitioned and was able to incorporate different styles of music in his latter years of performing, he took a lot of heat and a lot of criticism during that time. And here we are at 2016, that we insist, we make sure that we want to make sure that the younger students who are trying to perfect their craft, you encourage them to think outside the box, being able to try different genres of music.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Miles definitely opened the door for us to really follow in terms of him being so open to all kinds of styles and experimenting. And you know, sometimes we have, you know, there's nothing wrong with the jazz traditionalists that they may feel that bebop is it, or avant-garde is it, or post-bop is it, or jazz fusion is it. You know, just for me, with all the different teachers and people and musicians that I've been around, you know, they were all open-minded and just say, listen, just make music that feels good. You know, and make music that, you know, anybody could latch on to. Now, sometimes I record records that are more musician-based, you know, that maybe the layman, I say, well, I don't really get what's going on. But I say, you know, or I don't hear it. But, you know, I'm definitely sensitive to just making music for the people. Because really, you know, that's who we really make music for, just the average folks. You know, these are the people that follow us. These are the people that support us and buy our records and come to our concerts. So, you know, Donald Byrd always, you know, instilled to me that, you know, you have to reach your audience, you know. So that's really what I'm really focused on, really trying to do.
It's interesting. You mentioned Donald Byrd, the great Donald Byrd. I remember when him and Guru got together and did Jazz with
Taz.
That was one of the most funkiest albums that I've ever heard in my existence. I mean, from cover to cover, from song to song, it was just funky, and it was able to reach a younger audience, and it really blew me away. I'm saying, okay, they get it. It's definitely get it. When you kind of look back and listen to something like that, how does it make you feel?
Great. I remember that period, Donald. I was in a lesson with him, and he said, "Hey, man, do you know the guru?" I said, "The guru?" I said, "Wait a second. Wait. The guru?" I said, you mean guru from Gangstar?"
Right.
And he said, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, I know the guru." He said, "Yeah, I'm doing some stuff with him." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, we're working on the project." I said, "Oh, wow, that's great." And then, you know, and he was really excited about it. He was really into it. And, you know, they did it. They did a lot of touring with that project, the first record. I think the big tune was, it was called Lounging. Just Lounging.
Yes.
Remember that? Lounging. Killing. And I got to meet Guru and hang out with him. Real nice cat.
It's funny when I listened to the entire album during that time, man, it was real mellow, very jazzy, funky, but very chill, very relaxed. And I remember jazz and bebop had always incorporated that kind of vibe. And speaking of vibe, what has you most proud of the new album, Trumpet Vibes?
Wow. Well, you know, I'm of Jamaican descent, and, you know, my father was a very proud, strong Jamaican man. So, you know, we really grew up with strong West Indian roots. So, you know, I grew up listening to reggae, and, you know, my dad was a jazz musician, played alto saxophone. But, you know, Jamaican folks, the boys, you know, we have a specific upbringing. Our mothers teach us how to kind of take care of ourselves. So we learn how to cook. We learn how to clean our clothes and do all those kind of things. And then the fathers teach us just trades. So you grow up just learning how to sheetrock or do electrical work or do plumbing. It was a deep upbringing, or fix cars. So, you know, he was able to do all that stuff. He didn't make enough money playing music, so he became an auto mechanic, but he instilled music in all of us, you know, because there's five kids. And so playing an instrument was mandatory, you know. So I chose trumpet because of Miles Davis's Roundabout Midnight record. I heard Miles playing. I didn't even know it was a trumpet. He was playing in mute. And I was like, "Dad, I want to play that," because it just sounded so mysterious. I was like, "Wow, it sounded like a phantom," you know. So I was like, "Yeah, I want to play that." It just intrigued me. So, you know, the new record, I'm so proud because it's my roots, and I was able to try. I mean, we worked on this record for 2 years, just trying to come up, make sure that we had traditional beats of reggae music, like the stepper, one drop, the Rastaman beat. You know, we had all these different elements, and we've tried to come up with a way to mix it with what we do, which is just, you know, straight ahead kind of post bop jazz. And I think I'm really happy with what we came up with. I'm very, very proud, and I think my parents, if they were here and to hear it, they'd be extremely proud of, you know, what we developed.
I know he plays a completely different instrument, but I must say, one particular song on the new album, Trumpet Vibes, Phantom, man, the vibe reminded me so much of the late, great Dexter Gordon, man. It really did. I just really just kind of sunk myself in and just kind of got lost in that particular kind of, it just, I for people that don't understand what jazz can do for you, is just the, as you mentioned earlier, as far as being quote unquote the purest, where it's the holy grail, the sacred grail, you know. You know, the people just really want to get lost in the music. For you, the European audience, to be more specific, England, Japan, Germany, Switzerland, they have always had a love affair with jazz music. What has been the overall feedback from outside the United States concerning the new album, Trumpet Vibes?
Well, I mean, it's I'm really happy. The response has, you know, been overwhelming. You know, people are saying that it's great to hear that jazz, you know, because sometimes jazz can be very complex, which is great. But, you know, some of the comments have been, you know, bringing back the music to just simple, you know, because a lot of the melodies are very simple, just, you know, singable melodies. And so that's been some of the responses, and people like the grooves, the way that we're mixing the different grooves with the one drop, the stepper. We have one, the Phantom DB, we're using stepper beat, which where the bass drum's playing on all fours, like doop, doop, doop. And, but we're playing that in 3/4 time. So we're playing it, the stepper, like over a waltz, which is really deep. And people are hearing this and hearing how we're mixing it all up, but making it work in a simple way that they could understand. So I think, you know, these are some of the things that people are really talking about and excited about.
You know, the feeling or the vibe that I get from the new album is that, in just my opinion, I may be wrong, won't be the first and definitely will not be the last. To me, you come across as an artist as being, number one, being a perfectionist. Number two, making sure that you always challenge yourself. How important is that to you?
Well, wow. I think it's, you know, I'm always trying to push the envelope. I'm always trying to push my abilities in every sense because, you know, that's the way I was taught, just from my parents and, you know, my teachers and the circle of friends that I'm around. We're always trying to be the best that we can be. I remember a great Jimmy Heath, one of my teachers told me, always try to put your best foot forward in whatever you do, in practice, in performance. Every time you pick up your instrument, try to be the best that you can be. So I'm always trying to strive for, I don't want to say perfection, but for the best that I can do. And always trying to give 100%. And whatever I come up with, you could know that I gave everything that I could give.
Well, like I said, it definitely resonates through the entire project. And speaking of the project, let's get into some new music, of course, from the incredible Mr. Darren Barrett. New album, Trumpet Vibes, with The Club, Up the Street, here in the Comfort Zone, in LOTL Radio. Thank you. of LOTO Radio. Man, when I listen to the entire album, I feel the need. I need to be in Paris, man, at some coffee. At a coffee house, man.
Wow.
Man, it's that definite vibe. You know what? I want to kind of just step back a little bit. I want to talk about education, to be more specific, music education. When I was going to school, junior high, high school, music education was in every school in the inner city. And what I have seen transpire over the last 20-some-odd years, they have removed a lot of the music classes from school as not just being an artist, but also being a teacher, also a mentor to your students. How does that make you feel when you see a lot of the school, a lot of the schools are basically removing music school or music, taking away the music lessons from the criteria in school?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's really sad because music is the fabric, you know, of our culture, and it is so important, and it really rounds or completes people. So, because there's just so much things that we learn as kids from music. We learn how to interact. We learn how to blend. We learn how to take and how to give. There's so much components that go into playing an instrument and playing with others, you know, that you get from music. So I think it's a tragedy. We need to figure out a way to turn that around.
It's amazing that we have enough money to build nuclear weapons, fund different wars in different parts of the world, but we don't have enough money to make sure that our kids are educated. Just food for thought. Something to think about. Things that make you gonna go,
Yeah.
Things that make you go, If you can, I know you deal with a lot as far as dealing with your students, but if you had to pinpoint something that you said that was really, truly beneficial to them, can you remember exactly what that was as far as something that you say, hey, man, you know what? I said something, even to me, I said something that it showed a lot of introspective, and they can take these words and they can run with it.
I think one of the big things that I try to teach is there's no wrong or right. Just play from your heart. Just play sincerely. Don't be this. Don't be afraid to make a mistake when you play music. You know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Because if you're always afraid of making mistakes, then you'll never really be open and really try to go for what you're hearing. So forget about mistakes. Just play from your heart. And I know that takes time, but once you really get into that mindset, things start to happen. And, you know, when I go to hear people play, when I go to hear peers and great, you know, musicians play, I like to hear them open. I like to hear them stretching. I like to hear them fail sometimes because that's the beauty, because that shows me that they're really playing in the moment. And that's when the beauty really happens, because life is not perfect. Sometimes we're walking down the street, we may trip over something. So, you know, when you play music, you should think like a child, because children are so open. Everything is wondrous. Everything is wow to kids, you know, and that's how we should approach music, with an open mind, fearlessly.
I don't know if many people out there are familiar with this particular movie, and it was a great movie called Whiplash. And I sat there and I said, man, if that cat didn't remind me a lot of my teacher when I was in junior high. And I have such fond memories because I've had the pleasure to speak to so many great jazz artists like yourself, and a lot of them say, hey, you know what, man, I've had teachers just like that. I mean, but you know what? At the end result, he pulled the best out of him. He really, do you feel sometimes as a teacher, that you have to go to that kind of extraordinary length, especially if you see a gifted pupil that you know he or she needs to be nudged a little bit more than, quote unquote, than an average student.
Well, you know, I when I was studying, I have a master's degree in music education, and I didn't understand why I had to take all these psychology courses. It was just all these psychology courses. I get it. I think a good teacher learns their student, studies their student, and then they're able to gauge how to interact, what they could give, the limits. So I think every student, you have to approach them individually. You could do this for this student, maybe not. You have to approach them differently, because really at the end of the day, our job is to really open their minds and educate them. But to do that, you really have to get into the student's mindset and figure out a way to get them what they need, but still inspire. Because sometimes if you're too hard on the student, it could have the opposite effect. So you got to really study the person's personality and learn them, and then you'll be able to really mold them.
You said you mentioned it as far as psychology. Can you ever remember at a time you say, you know what, man, maybe I did go a little bit too far, particular student?
Yeah, maybe a few times. But this is a funny story. I went to, I was the inaugural class, the first class of a institute called the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz. And that institute started in 1995. And Ron Carter was the musical director. Now, we're talking, I don't, what's above Marines? Maybe Navy SEALs. It was deep. Man, that was like boot camp extreme. And, you know, sometimes I felt like, wow, this is too much. But I look back and I thank Ron Carter, because he really made me strong. At the time, sometimes his methodology felt too much. But I, you know, it was Ron Carter, so he's a master. So whatever he said to do, I just, you know, respectfully did what as he asked. But looking back, it was incredible, because he really made me strong and fearless and really be able to focus under pressure. You know, and as a musician, you know, a lot of times we're under pressure. And if you can't focus, then things fall apart. You know, so I could definitely share that. But with my students, you know, I think like a lot of the musicians that I studied under, like the older school musicians like Jimmy Heath, Donald Byrd, William Fielder, they were more, you know, from the old school. And I think the teachers now have kind of, you know, changed a bit because of legalities. You know, you got to be careful. You know, I don't think, you know, I could teach like the way Donald Byrd taught. Like, you know, Donald Byrd was deep. He just spoke his mind. If he was unhappy with something, he would let you know straight up, you know, which was, you know, it was great. It was really great, because at the end of the day, he really cared about students' development, you know.
It's funny that you mention that. As I said, I go back to that great movie Whiplash, where the teacher had a very Jekyll and Hyde personality. And what was great at the last part of the movie, he thought everything was great, get up there, get ready to perform, and it was a completely different set that they were going to perform. And it taught him to always be, to enable himself flexible, to stretch out. Don't follow by the rules. Just fit. And it made him an extremely fantastic percussionist. For you, having that great having a great teaching of Donald Byrd, how has it made you not only a better artist but also a better man?
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. Just, yeah. that's a deep question. That's a deep statement. He was like a second father. He just really taught me. A lot of our teachings, a lot of the lessons had nothing to do with music. It just had to do with life, how to interact with people, how to be a good listener. I remember one time he said, hey, man, you don't know how to, you're not a good listener. Sometimes people are talking to you and you're not hearing what they're trying to tell you. So I was like, wow. So, you know, he really helped me to be a better communicator because sometimes, you know, you got to be quiet and just listen to people and let them say what's on their mind. And sometimes people are talking to you and they don't want you to even say anything. They just want you to listen. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that he just taught me about being a man, being a good man, and being a good person, which I think at the end of the day in this whole game is the most important thing, just being a good human being and trying to help people.
Well, being a good human being definitely goes a long way. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you for the Teddy Bear Does. We give you enjoyed this evening with the incredible, yes, Lord, Mr. Darren Barrett, as we get into his new album, Trumpet Vibes. To Sir with Love, first thing came to mind, Sidney Poitier and Lulu. I said, okay. I said, when I get the brother on the show, I got to ask you, what made you come up with that particular title for the song?
Oh, wow. I remember my mom, she's from St. Anne's, Jamaica, and she loved Lulu. She was very sensitive. She didn't really study music, but she was very sensitive to music. She loved Lulu's vibrato. And my mother turned me on to this song and the movie. It's a beautiful movie.
Really?
And at the end, when Lulu sings a song, it's like, what? It's emotional. So I always, always, always wanted to record this song. I was just waiting for the right environment, right time. So in the studio, before we laid this track down, I went to YouTube and I had the whole, the guys in the band are a little younger and I don't think they really knew the movie.
Right.
So I sat them down and I told them about the movie and we watched the last part when he walks into the graduation party and they give him the present and they see Lulu sings a song. We all sat and watched that as a band and they understood. And I said, now let's go record it. That was it.
It caught me because when I sat there and I listened to the song, I said, my God, maybe 7 times. And I said, you know what? I said, Darren really put his foot and also his trumpet in this one, man. You really you did a fantastic job. So far be it for me to deprive the listeners out there. Man, one of the many great songs from this new album, of course, Trumpet Vibes, To Sir with Love, here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio.
Thank you.
or to the younger listeners out there, CD, Trumpet Vibes, available on iTunes, Google Play, and also on Amazon.com. And to get all the latest updates, be sure to stop by Darren's official website. That's at www.darrenbarrett.com. You can also catch up with him on Facebook. That's at Darren Barrett Music. And last but not least, on Twitter, that's at twitter.com/Darren_Barrett. Brother, it has definitely been an honor for me to have you on the show and share this wonderful music. This is your home, whatever you need. Please do not hesitate to let us know, man, and much continued success.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate you doing this. This means a lot. And thank you for the fantastic, fantastic questions. It really brought a lot of beautiful things out of me, I feel.
It's obvious to me, man. You love your trumpet because my program director, Miss Wilson, she said, look, I want you to take a look at some. And I said, what do you want me to see? I said, look at Darren. I said, what? The cat is in his car. He has a trumpet in his hand. I said, Lord have mercy. A man and his horn.
I just got this new trumpet. I love it. It's incredible. I had to pull over and play it.
And it is on, my God. Yes, Lord, it's definitely a beautiful thing, man. And as in closing, man, I wish you nothing but continued success, but in always keep it soulful, okay?
All right, thank you. And I just want to give a shout-out that we have, Trumpet Vibes has a new record that's coming out probably around June, and we're really, really excited about this one. We put everything that we had into this one. It's the music of Amy Winehouse.
Really?
Oh, man. I'm excited about this one. We put everything, every drop of energy that we have into this record because, you know, we just love Amy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do me a favor. When it's ready, I don't care if it's like grandma's cooking, you know, still soft, not completely done, send it to us and we will debut it here first, man.
Okay, that's a deal.
All right. The incredible Mr. Darren Barrett. Bless you, brother, and continued success.
Okay, thank you for having me.
All right, man. It is definitely a beautiful vibe. You're in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. Hope everyone enjoyed the interview. My goodness, man, we're already the eighth day of January 2016. And we have so much to give, so much we want to do for you. And to get all the latest updates, let your fingers do the walking. Stop by the new official website at www.lotlthecomfortzone.com. You can also catch up with us on Twitter. Yeah, we're on Twitter also. That's at twitter.com/LOTO Radio. Also on Instagram. I know if I don't mention it, Tammy's going to kill me. We're also on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/LOTL, the comfort zone. And if you want 24 hours, no, it's a must. You say, well, Teddy Bear, we can't find quality music anymore. Oh, no need to fear. The Teddy Bear is here. When you're at the official website, we got it. We got you. 24-hour nonstop streaming music. Ask and ye shall receive as we get lost in Daryl Hall, John Oates, Sarah Smile, here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. Lord Empress.
When I feel I can't go on, you come and hold. Hey, this is Chris Jasper hanging with Teddy Bear at LLTL Radio, debuting my new single, Keep Believing.
All right. Put down those guns and pick up those books. And listen to what I'm getting ready to put down.
Updates, make sure you stop by Darren's official website. That's at Darren's. Facebook, and also on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/Darren_Barrett. And on Facebook is Darren Barrett Music. My goodness, man.
Thanks for watching me. I'm your host, Randy Cohn, and this is my show. Watch me now. My fabulous guests in the Playhouse tonight, the beautiful Demetria McKinney and the fabulous Candy Burris. Everybody, mazel on you.
Mazel.
You know, you guys are just besties. You're always besties on the show. I mean, now you're not even speaking to each other. Any truth to that, girl? Come on. Candy, come on, I know you got something to say. You've always got something to say.
Always
right?
Got something to say.
Well, actually, you know what? I do have something to
As
say.
As usual.
What? I don't know if you see what your dude is doing. From what I see, I can tell that he's not into it. He thinks that he can treat you any way he wants to, and you'll still be there, happy just to be his woman. I heard that he's been running around with someone else, while you sit at home, lonely and all by yourself. I don't know when you're gonna listen to me, friend, but you'll be better off with a better man.
I don't know what I can say to you.
Many days. I might be tempted to break the law around